When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're getting into that that Christmas vibe of stuff. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Adetula hanging out with you. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday as we are continuing to move towards. We're closing in on. We're bull rushing towards. We're
barreling towards.
Texans.
Headed towards.
Chiefs. Headed towards. Texas Chiefs tomorrow at noon. We'll talk a little bit more Texas here in a second as Dan Orlovsky of ESPN has some concerns about this offense. Want to see if you agree with them. 713-572-4610. But before we get there,
breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
We're seeing multiple of the newsbreakers, multiple of the big names in baseball making it official. Christian Walker is going to be signed by your Houston Astros pending a physical.
Bob Nightingale reported 36 seconds ago, it is done.
Okay.
Christian Walker has agreed to a 3-year, $60 million contract with the Houston Astros. I don't mind the money.
Not at all.
I really like the acquisition.
He's a good player, man. Yeah. So it does feel like, maybe the Nolan Arenado thing is done, and maybe more importantly, Alex Bregman. That feels like that is completely out of play. Isak Paredes, I know that he ends up playing in various places, but it's third and first are really the big ones. And if you got a first baseman in Christian Walker, one who, offensively is good, defensively is also really good, three successive Golden Gloves in the last 3 years, it feels like you're kind of done on the idea of having Alex Bregman return as a Houston Astro.
Yeah, no, that's a done deal. We could just come to grips with it. You have your third baseman in Paredes. You have your first baseman in Christian Walker. Both productive players. Both great defensive players.
Something that was made very abundantly clear about this Astros team that was what they wanted, was they wanted to make sure that if they got anyone that was still defensively, that's something that I took from the Alex Baum kind of comparisons where I was like, nope, don't want that guy.
And 3 years, $60 million. That is not bad, man, for a guy that has been consistently productive. Yes, he's going on 34 or has turned 34.
Yeah, this will be his age 34 season coming up.
But no drop in production in the last 3 or 4 years, certainly the last three. Now, it's not all going to be sunshine and rainbows. You always have to give up some things. They're going to give up 2 draft picks because he was going to be, I guess, what's the term? They exercised the option or whatever it was on him. You did give up Kyle Tucker as part of this deal, and apparently you're going to keep, or at least try to keep, Framber Valdez.
We'll see how that goes. But you think about it, offensively, right? That has been the calling card of this Astros team throughout the long-standing run that they've had. You look at the offensive options that they have, and you start naming them. But I mean, and there's still very clear needs in this offseason for that team. But you start looking at the offensive options. I don't know how early you want to put Altuve in there, but clearly you still have Yordan, Yainer, Diaz, And then you add Christian Walker, who can do this at a pretty high level. Isak Paredes is no slouch, right? Yeah. Like you've got some options to be able to cobble together. And cobble together is probably unfair, but you to put together a team that still has an opportunity to contend, particularly in this AL West that I don't know is terrifying. The one team that I always have questions about is the Seattle Mariners, because they always seem to have the talent, but I don't know if they ever really put it together. We'll see what the new manager there is able to do. But no, this still seems like a team that would have an opportunity, assuming that Dana Brown does what I think we all want him to do, which is now, hey, can you do something about this outfield?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can give me something with this outfield, particularly like some outfielders that have some bats with that are coming along with them, not just gloves. You can work with here. You can work with some here.
Yeah, and then the window's open, and they're not hiding it. As I mentioned, losing draft picks is not great for a team that doesn't have a lot of prospects. They've lost draft picks the last couple of years. But they're still fighting for what they can this coming season.
Yeah, all right. So that is the breaking news. If you missed it, again, Christian Walker, first baseman previously with the Arizona Diamondbacks, will be the new Astros first baseman. I don't know if that pending physical still remains in there, if we're done here, but it's a three-year, $60 million deal, as reported by Bob Nightingale, as well as others who are breaking this story. All right, let's go back to your Houston Texans ahead of this game tomorrow that you can hear here on Sports Radio 610. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, he's the former quarterback. You remember the time that he ran out the back of the end zone that one time?
Yes,
you remember
I
that?
Do.
Okay, cool. He's also somebody who has a very bland palate. He's notoriously eats like a
mac and cheese and hot dogs.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all like chicken with no seasoning and stuff, right?
Mac and cheese and weenies.
And by the way, that's not like racial. Like, he just genuinely just doesn't. He eats like chicken with no seasoning and stuff.
Guy until Davis Mills had the single worst practice I've ever seen by a Houston Texans quarterback.
Huh.
During training camp, I think he
do wonder why black people smell so good. He feel like all that's black right, people
too.
Smell good.
That too.
That is fair. So he's an appreciator of like good smells, apparently, though. Mm-hmm. So I can say that. How much do you appreciate the ball knowledge in this perspective? This is Dan Orlovsky with his kind of concern about this Texans offensive line in this matchup.
My concern is that strength matches up with Houston's weakness. Mm-hmm. If I'm Houston, because, and specifically the inside, the guards of the Houston Texans are going to get absolutely abused in the games. The interior has been the issue all week, but to my point, the guards. And all Spags is going to do is run what we call these pick stunts, where a linebacker is going to wrap and pin the hip of that guard, and then that defensive tackle. Guys, three offensive linemen are blocking absolutely nobody. Like, this has got to drive Bobby Slowick absolutely out of his freaking mind, because it happens all the time. Sometimes it doesn't even mean a pressure is going to happen, a blitzer. They'll just do those internal stunts. If you're Kansas City and you're going to get Chris Jones doing this with a Mike Dana or George Karlaftis, that guard is looking out to his right. Dude, you should probably at some point get your eyes back inside, because here comes that loop. And again, both guards blocking absolutely nobody. One of them's on the ground. The interior play, the guards are going to get picked and stunted in games so much.
Yeah.
And even then, you know Spags is going to show you more, and he's going to say, you're not ready or planned for it, and we'll get home.
He seems disgusted. Like just like these guys, they're not there, like, on
look,
the ground.
One of them on the ground.
And then he says they're going to get absolutely abused. How do you really feel?
Does he not feel like a lot of folks around here? Like
he
that,
does.
That, even when we talk about this offensive line looking better, all of that is with asterisk, because we know that this offensive line has not been up to the standard of any other offensive lineman in the league or offensive lines in the league. Yeah, man, I think that he clearly has a point here. And yes, the point that you have to really lean on is the tone of voice that he brings there, because,
disgusted.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of those moments where you look at the offensive line and it's just like you're not picking up stunts. And this is the basic things that you need to be able to do. And some of it, I will, and maybe I'm being too kind in this regard. Let me know if you think that's what I'm doing here. Some of it I do wonder is like the continuity that this team is not forged. But then you can again be mad about, hey, that's probably why you all needed to have your asses in training camp,
yeah.
Right? But the continuity and being able to have that familiarity with the guy next to you and those types of things. But no, there's way too often where passing there's no flow in passing off defenders as they rush, and then when they add stunts and games and those types of things up front, there's so often that they're not handling that up well, and it's just not It's not sound, right? Like the actual mechanics of what they are doing is not sound. And I'm sure that for a quarterback watching that film, who's covering all these teams around the league, looks at this team is like, this is particularly bad. And of course, when you come up against an interior defensive lineman like Chris Jones, mm-hmm. And a defensive coordinator like Spagnuolo, who knows how to attack the weak points of the defense, this is going to be first and foremost one of those things that was coming up, I'm sure, earlier on this week in those meetings, like, yo, middle of the offensive line, let's see if we can apply pressure to C.J. Stroud up the middle.
And I think it's very important to note this about Dan Orlovsky. He was watching film of just Sunday's game, just the Dolphins.
Yeah, because
this line.
At one point,
like
when
this line that's going to be right. In Kansas City, it's not like, well, they've stunk all year, as we've talked about.
Yes.
You know, or the interior is really, really, really bad and all that. No, he was looking at this game and showing dudes that were just flat lost. I guess it was Shaq Mason did a little dipsy-doo, a little... you know, a little pirouette, if you will, on some stunt. And he's like, come on, man. I mean, you know, he's like, what are you doing? Another one, when Shaq Mason was looking to his right, trying to find somebody to block, and a dude was coming straight up on his left.
Yes.
So it wasn't like, oh, they've got issues, but maybe this is going to fix it. No, he was looking at this last game. And it did make me think a little bit more, because I've been saying it's kind of like their last stand. And like, if the offensive line, if this line can't figure it out now, they're just not going to.
Well,
he was saying, no, they're just bad now.
And the tough thing about it is, like, again, you look at some of the guys that you have and you're like, is it that they can't do it? And with some of those instances, I have questions, right? Like, Shaq Mason has had a long career and you've seen him do this before. But I do wonder if it's just like, are we getting to a point where we're over the hill there?
Yeah.
But I feel like actually, let me just ask you the question straight up. Do you think with a majority or with all these dudes that this is just that they can't do it? Excluding Laremy Tunsil, because I feel like Laremy Tunsil deserves it.
He doesn't want to run block as often as he should.
But I feel like over the last couple of weeks, he himself has been pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Right? I know that DJ Bieniemy wrote a piece about how, you know, that draft night, you know, debacle continues to kind of be a fuel for him in some sorts. And I thought about it. I was like, yeah, we have not talked about Laremy Tunsil. The pre-snap stuff has not been there. And he's been, you know, the pass blocking is good. He has the power to be able to affect in the run game. Mm-hmm. How consistently does he do that is a question that I know that you're bringing up. But he deserves that. Okay, so maybe we put Laremy Tunsil aside. Maybe.
But can they not do it? I think Shaq, I mean, it's always hard to say. It's always hard to see. But he's not the same player that he was by any stretch. And let's be honest. I mean, how many games has Jarrett Patterson played center? How many games has Tytus Howard been back at left guard? So I think I said this, you know, sort of their last stand. I really believe that, because we opened the show at 10 a.m. talking about, like, if things go right, you know, and you get the same C.J. Stroud in, or the hints that you saw against the Dolphins, and obviously the defense is doing its thing, and you get some receivers doing, but it still comes back to the offensive line. Like, they have to show progress this week, or else this offensive line, Dan Orlovsky might have an aneurysm, because if they don't show some improvement here, then we know the story. It isn't going to get better.
You know? Yeah. And that's where, like, we've been doing this for a long time. That's where that settles in. Like, how likely do you think it's actually going to be that all these guys are now getting on the same page, and in this week they have figured out that, hey, when you're in a situation and the protection is called, and you look up and there's only one guy with these three offensive linemen that you have here that you need to get over and help on the other side, where I'm sure there's more pressure. Like, how much is that going to happen? I'm not certain, but you have, like, that's what you have to hope for. Like, you have to hope that's that level of progress. But yeah, clear concern for me, especially since you have Charles Mennu, who is now coming back for this Chiefs team and who was helping them apply a ton of pressure. You saw that against the Browns, where they were on Jameis Winston's neck bubble. Yeah. They were on his keister getting into that backfield. You would absolutely hate to see C.J. Stroud in that circumstance, because that would represent a lack of progress. That would a backslide of sorts. And that would definitely not bode well for getting a win in this game, or really what that would mean for this team in the postseason, I think.
He said they're going to get absolutely abused. That's a direct quote.
And I hope that he's wrong. Like, what is the amount of abuse, I guess, for lack of a better term, that you're willing to deal with? Because that's been the name of the game with this offensive line. It's not, oh, are they going to go and absolutely win? It's just like, how much can we handle that we can actually make some shake with?
No, look, I think, you know, here we go again. And back to where we've been all season long. They've tried several different looks on the offensive line, several, you know, different personnel. They've seemed to have settled on this. I don't anticipate, you know, Kenyon Green, you know, finding a way back into the lineup. So if it doesn't happen now, if this ain't it, then it's going to have to be how far can your defense take you.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Man, the offensive line against this defensive line, one of the big keys to this one as the Texans face off against the Kansas City Chiefs. Tomorrow you'll start the broadcast at 9 a.m. here on Sports Radio 610, getting you ready for that one. All right, coming up next, we're about that time where we get into our lunchtime confessions, and we'll do that on Sports Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Radio 610.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, I found out yesterday that I've always loved, admired, trusted one Figgy Fig.
Yes.
I found out yesterday that I might trust him more than I probably should.
Really?
Nothing against you, Figgy. So he was helping me out with a Fire Stick, downloading some apps that I didn't really know.
You've already said too much.
Some good apps.
They're coming for
some
you.
Good apps.
You know, Lopez is a little older, so
yeah.
he don't understand.
I said, Figgy, can you download this for me? And he did.
So you need a Tubi is what you're telling me?
Anywho.
Yes.
Anyway, yes. So he texted me, and I'm up on top of the post with my granddaughter looking at the Christmas lights in the skyline, having dinner, after dinner, and he goes, hey man, what's your Amazon username? And I went, oh, he must be doing that. I said, all right. A little while later, hey, what's your Amazon password?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, all right, go ahead.
Well, out there, what mother's maiden name?
Well, you're close. Hey, Amazon just texted you a code. What's that code? So I texted him, I forwarded him that code.
What's your social?
Yeah, so Figgy, I didn't even think twice. Trusted him, got the app downloaded, everything's
that's
good.
That's cool. I actually felt kind of weird doing that because you don't never text nobody, hey, what's your password?
Yeah.
And so I did that.
You might not.
Yeah.
See, I did that hoping because Amazon, that Fire Stick, sometimes they put you through a lot.
Yeah.
Just to set up something simple.
So what are you going to buy on my Amazon?
I already deleted the password, man.
Nothing's ever deleted.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever
already,
deleted.
Already.
But I got to confess, I mean, I trust Figgy more so than I do most people on this planet.
Go ahead and get you something nice, Figgy.
Hey, that's cool.
Get yourself something nice.
Hey, I'm the favorite son now.
Yeah.
Move over, BG.
You went to Thanksgiving and everything. It's true. Man.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, get out of here, BG. I'm the best.
These are my confessions.
I don't even know what quite the confession is here, but I have a bit of audio that made me smile.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sufficient enough of a confession that I should bring to you? This comes from a basketball game in Sacramento at Golden One Center. Now I'm just doing it to annoy you.
Yeah.
the Golden One Center in Sacramento as the Kings were playing. Bill Kennedy was the referee for this one. And I just love Bill Kennedy for this reason in particular. There was a challenge. And so Bill Kennedy stepping to the mic to let the Sacramento fans know whether the challenge that their coach made was successful.
After reviewing the play, the defensive foul that was called on number 23 has been overturned. Unfortunately, the foul is now on number 9, and the Lakers will retain possession of the ball on the side. The coach's challenge is successful.
What other refs have that kind of drama in them? What other refs have that kind of showmanship?
He let them get their applause in.
Keep it coming.
That's like being at the Oscars or something.
Yeah.
And you say something, and then you let the crowd, cheer and all that stuff.
But he went, psych, you're still getting a foul.
However, a little wink and a nod to the camera.
Yeah.
Bill Kennedy is probably my favorite official.
And he's been around now for quite a while.
I love it. Maybe everybody's least favorite official was Scott Foster, who left. He left the game, the Rockets-Pelicans game, for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
They had to go to the old school two-man refereeing crew.
Did a fan hit him or something?
I didn't see actually what happened. So maybe I like, in fact, you know what? Just for my own personal purposes, I'm going to pretend like they did.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
These are my confessions.
So I want to give a shout out to my old lady, my wife.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do?
You're not gonna be torturing her this time?
No. What you mean? That's you.
That's right.
I'm not the one buying the prank rap. But we was going to make some Christmas gifts for everyone here at the station.
Oh, is she the one doing
this?
Oh, we gonna get one of these joints?
Yeah.
She's the one that's doing it.
I'm so excited. I'm legitimately excited.
Wait, hold on. I'm about to pull a Bill Kennedy. However, so she was gonna make some maple cream, homemade maple cream for everybody.
Don't tell me
at
this.
At the little glass.
Don't tell me this.
And she did it for her coworkers earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like, all right, yeah, tomorrow I'm gonna do it for your coworkers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I guess it went rough for her last night.
Ah.
It wasn't coming out how she thought it would.
Oh no!
She was so frustrated, man. She was up to like 12:30 last night.
Well, that just makes me feel bad for her.
My confession, I feel kind of bad for her.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, man, I'm like, everybody coming around giving gifts. And I'm like, all right, I can't wait to bring mine.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out right.
That's
man.
Okay. It's a thought that counts, as they say.
Yeah, she feels so bad, man.
I don't worry about it.
Yeah. Don't sweat it.
I wasn't expecting it. I just got hype right now because you said something. Yeah. So really, this is your fault. I would have been perfectly fine.
Hey, I'm chatting with my Bill Kennedy right there. I said, hey, got some gifts for you guys.
Unfortunately,
it didn't work out right.
Yeah.
But salute to her, man.
Yeah, tell her no harm, no foul.
Yeah, it's the worst when, especially somebody that's a real cooker,
mm-hmm.
when they get something wrong. And he's like, I don't know what happened.
They beat up themselves.
Yeah. So, it's only like two times she messed up something like that. So.
All right. All good, though.
Yeah, all good.
All good.
These are my confessions.
Money makes you do stupid things. This may not be a confession, maybe just the reality. I made a bet this morning about 10 minutes, 5 minutes before the show that makes me sick to my stomach. Sick. But I still made the bet. After kind of looking at this college football playoff, which, by the way, if you thought that I wasn't going to have the quirky, sappy college football line, you got another thing coming because that's coming up next. But I bet $100 plus $1,100 on Notre Dame barf to win the national championship.
Well, I mean, you already took one L to them earlier in the season. So at this point,
That's mean.
What?
That's just mean.
That is factually accurate.
That's just mean.
That is factually accurate. Don't be mad at me. Tell your team to play better football.
Man.
Why, what is this?
Yeah.
Why am I getting why are you booing me? I'm right.
Yo, it's a low blow.
That's a low blow. That's a cheap shot.
That's a cheap shot.
Yes, but I'm not a big Notre Dame fan. Never have been. I like a lot of people from Notre Dame. Shout out to Sean and all my friends from Notre Dame. But I shouldn't be betting on them, but I am. $100 Notre Dame to win the national championship.
I don't think that's a bad bet. Well, it's a national championship. If it was to go to the championship game.
No, win the national championship.
That gets a little tough because I don't even know if I've fully put together which I probably should. Like, the games start tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've put up together who I fully think will win it. But I think that their path, if they were to move.
And we'll get into that in the next segment.
Yeah. I think it's an advantageous one. So I could see that. I understand where you're getting the value there. I like that.
All right.
These are my confessions.
I am allowing myself to drink the Kool-Aid.
And that is?
I understand. The Pelicans are not very good at basketball.
They won
five
games.
Yeah, they have won five games out of what, like 25, something like that. It's, mm-hmm. it's not pretty over there. Seeing the way that these dudes were knocking out shots.
You are drinking the Kool-Aid.
We don't need no shooters. We got Dylan Brooks.
The development is going to happen. They're going to knock down the shots.
Yeah.
The offense will come along.
Yeah. We don't need no trades.
I believe it.
The Pelicans, huh?
We got some shooters.
I'm believing it, man. I'm believing that they can shoot. Like, it won't always be 133 points. It won't always be quite that. But I do think, man, like, we might be living in the world where the first part of this season has been a little bit of an anomaly, and these open shots will actually go down, and the offense will look a lot more passable.
Well, you are drinking the Kool-Aid.
I am drinking. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
I would not go that far.
I am drinking the Kool-Aid. I admit it. I understand I've diagnosed it, but I'm there. I can't help how I feel. I have the fever.
Man. Well, okay. I mean,
you're like, whatever, dog.
I
that's
do,
your opinion.
I do think
we both made questionable decisions today.
We did.
You with Notre Dame,
yes.
And me with drinking the Kool-Aid.
And if
I understand.
But if, as we've been saying, as I've been saying, certainly, you know, if they can get their strokes down, so to speak, in this weak part of the schedule.
Incredibly wild phrase.
The key to it all is just getting your stroke down. And if you do that.
I've often said that.
And if you do that. Maybe that shooting prowess would linger for a little bit.
I mean, they only shot 44% from three in that game.
But they had key players making a lot of shots.
They got downhill.
The Pelicans.
Like, yeah. This feels like it's doable.
Yeah.
I mean, they got downhill to the basket, and they shot 57% from two, or, like, from the field just generally, so they shot really well from two. Like, yeah. I think the
Pelicans won five games, you said?
Like, 3 points.
Five?
Yes.
Five? Okay.
5-23.
All right.
Yes. Yep, and the way Jalen Green been going, he probably had 9 points.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Jalen Green had a robust 34 points,
mm-hmm.
13-22 shooting.
And then the next game, he always get 9 points.
Yep.
Lately, he's been getting, like, 12
11.
Towards
yeah.
the end. But then he usually 9 the next game.
These are my confessions.
So I was on social media. I ran across a clip from the Sherry Shepherd show,
mm-hmm.
and it said
the
Temptations performing Silent Night live.
What?
Wow.
That's what I said. I said, wait a minute, what? So I tapped in on it. I'm like, who is these ninjas? This ain't no
wow.
This ain't no doggone Temptations.
Yeah.
Who is these people?
Was it like one dude from? I mean, one person from the.
That's my confession.
Yeah.
Salute to Otis Williams, yeah. man. He's still
holding on.
He's still holding on, man. My confession was, I thought they all passed away. I didn't know it was one living. Mm-hmm.
Original Temptations.
So yeah, he's got the rights.
He do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked it up. He got the rights to the name and all mm-hmm. that stuff. So.
Do y'all like it when a band kind of continues on like that?
Unless it's like the lead singer. Like, the Journey thing is awesome. The guy that replaced, you know, that's awesome. But like, when you get like Temptations and you got all but one are no longer with us and they still call it the Temptations, no.
yeah, he I want to say like 81 years old. He's still doing this thing, yeah. man. Salute, but
83 apparently.
Oh, 83. Okay.
And I didn't realize he was born in Texarkana.
Okay, but yeah. So apparently everybody came to see you, Otis. Everybody came to see you.
Because if they didn't come to see you, I don't know what they came to see.
Exactly, yeah. man. Salute to Otis Williams of the Temptations.
These are my confessions.
We good?
Oh, okay. There we go.
Yeah.
All everybody's clear there. Those are the confessions right here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 from the 832. Why does the new guy voice change pitches so often? I don't know. I don't know.
Yesterday you had a good high one.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Get a little nothing wrong with that.
Little Gus Johnson going on.
Yeah.
I wish I could be Gus Johnson. Gus Johnson does some wild things with his voice.
Hollywood. You'll see him.
Yeah, you will see.
Yeah, you'll see him.
Because it seems like he will play. And, of course, you'll see Patrick Mahomes tomorrow when the Kansas City Chiefs welcome in your Houston Texans to Arrowhead Stadium. You'll hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. And that's going to be amongst a long day of all sorts of football and such. Speaking of, college football gets going tonight and tomorrow you'll be hitting it hard. And so coming up next, let's get our Lopez with our college football theme, our college football headline of the weekend as we head into the first round of the college football playoff. We'll do that next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Real festive on a Football Friday. It's a festive Football Friday. There you go. There's the alliteration I was looking for right here. As we're getting ready, we are barreling towards, we're bull rushing towards, we're doing all the things, getting ready for Kansas City.
Using them all.
Yeah, getting them all in there as the Texans should already be on their way up to Kansas City.
Yeah, it's about the time they leave right about now. Yeah.
Absolutely. To Kansas City to take on the Chiefs tomorrow. And that is one of many, many really fun football games this weekend. A lot of those college football wise.
Yeah, man.
As the college football playoffs gets going. And so, as we do on a Friday in college football season, as it still technically is, Lopez, what is your college football headline?
This happy college football theme of the week is You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch Saturday.
Okay.
You're a mean one.
Mr. Grinch.
And the reason is, and this is where I wanted to. What I want to talk about here. There's going to be some upsets. Like it's inevitable. Just like any bracket, you know, we know about March Madness.
Is it inevitable?
No, it is. There's going to be some upsets.
All right.
There absolutely will. Maybe not this weekend, but I started to kind of think about, all right, where do I see an upset happening?
Okay, so we got four games going here. Is obviously you have number one Oregon, number two Georgia, number three Boise State, number four Arizona State, all having their bye week. Are there buy into those bowl games that will happen on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? And so right now you're dealing with the home playoff games, which that's going to be a fun, just a exciting level to all of these games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, where's the upset in these four, I guess, that look, you're looking at them?
I've been a 2024 fan of Indiana and obviously supporting Adam Spillane and having fun with him and all that.
That's 11 Indiana to you, sir.
Yes, sir. I don't see it happening tonight. I really don't. The weather is just, I know they live in Indiana too, but the weather is atrocious. They've had some experience, you know, playing in a big game atmosphere with Ohio State, started out well in that game and then got really, you know, beat up to a pulp pretty good. And Notre Dame's defense is, I believe, first or second in points among the teams you know, at that level, and their passing defense is ridiculously good. Well, that's what Indiana does. They score a lot of points and they pass the ball, you know, big chunks downfield. Just not a good matchup for Indiana. I was going to say I hope they win, but I don't now because I bet on Notre Dame to win the national championship. But part of that bet with Notre Dame is their matchups are good. It's a perfect matchup for what they do well facing Indiana. And then they might face Georgia, which is
no, they wouldn't. They oh wait, they is face, it Georgia?
I thought it was Georgia.
I think they're lined up with as I've already lost the bracket that I had directly in front of me a moment ago. But they are lined up. Oh yeah, it would be the possibility of Georgia. That's right. I'm confusing them and Penn State in my brain. But yes,
yeah.
If they beat Indiana, they would go up against Georgia.
Georgia's
in the
not
Sugar
that
Bowl.
Scared. I mean, their defense, of course, too. But they're not the Georgia we knew.
No.
So I think things are lining up for Notre Dame as much as I would if I hadn't bet some money on it. So not Indiana at Notre Dame. Not Clemson at Texas.
Okay, see, yeah, Clemson is the team that is, you know,
you
they
think
have,
that might
they
be
have
one?
Lowest. No, well, here's the issue. And this the big talking point that happens in this game is with Texas because Quinn Ewers has left things to be desired, particularly in the red zone. Like when they try and pass in the red zone, it's not been very good.
Mm-hmm.
He can kind of operate the offense, but there's not a level of consistency there. And they've got the guys in the trenches, but you've got to be able to throw the football. You're sitting over there looking like, hey, man,
yeah,
Arch Manning is right there, right? Arch Manning was able to produce one of the best, biggest plays that you had in that SEC championship game that they played. And so the question is, how long will the leash be for Quinn Ewers? And if the leash is kind of long, could that be something where they depend on him and he kind of hampers the, you know, the great plays that Sark puts out there to the point where it allows Clemson to remain in that game long enough to find
something? I mean, I guess it's possible, you know, but I don't see that. I think it comes down to two games, and it's because the two coaches involved. If things go bad early at Penn State or at Ohio State, Figgy, what's that stadium going to be like if Tennessee gets up 10 to nothing?
Oh, man. A lot of booing.
How is Tennessee scoring?
Oh, I'm just saying, like, if Tennessee...
That's what I was like, how are they scoring 10 early?
But they have... I mean, they will make some plays on offense. You know, they've been known to have some good speed.
Not against one of the better defenses in the nation, Ohio State.
But that's why I'm saying upset.
I think that one might... We have a lot of opportunity for some ugly games in some of these circumstances because of a lack of offense in some circumstances. Like, Tennessee is one of those. But yeah, I mean, and all these games, as evidence of the disparity here, I think the shortest odds on this one are Notre Dame at they're -6.5.
Okay.
All these other ones, Penn State is -8.5 favorites, Ohio State -7 favorites, and then of course Texas a -12 favorite, and that's the only game that's probably in the confines of the South, where you probably have some decent weather. All these other ones, y'all gonna be dealing with some ugly weather that might also add to a game that might be a little ugly. So we might have some slobber knockers of sorts, if possible.
I'm kind
of
looking at SMU, man. I wouldn't bet on that one. But James Franklin, same thing, same dynamic. If they fall behind early at home, then the whiteout and all that stuff. In State College, they're going to be very, 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 very upset with their coach. He's feeling a lot of pressure. SMU has none. At all. And I think they've proven consistently. SMU is not. They've played some good teams.
That's going to be an interesting one. That one gets going at noon Eastern time, so 11 a.m. Central. And that one's on TNT. That's one of these weird things. The TNT is kind of a sublet of sorts, some of these football games as well. But Kevin Jennings is going to be a big part of that, SMU's quarterback. Obviously, we mentioned the cold there. That's a really good defense in Penn State, even though they be out here being unserious to like the big ticket teams once they actually get there. That's been Penn State and particularly James Franklin's, I want to say calling card, but that's a little more mean than I wanted to be. I wanted to be relatively mean, but not that mean. That's been his kind of hang up, is that when you get to some of these big ticket teams, when you get to Michigan, when you get to Ohio State, he's had these issues. SMU would be a different level of that.
Sure.
If that was the loss. But Kevin Jennings is a good quarterback. Can he generate offense? But then particularly in the confines of that weather, that defense, it feels like a bridge too far, especially I feel like Tyler Warren will have an opportunity to do something against SMU, who's been pretty good against tight ends, but they ain't seen a tight end like Tyler Warren.
Look, they have so much talent at Penn State, and they have had so much talent at Penn State for a long time. But, things start getting a little interesting there. You know, SMU could well be the way. I don't know if there's going to be any upset. There's going to be an upset in the tournament, in the bracket.
I feel better about like in that second round once you get to the bowl games on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. But on these ones, I'm willing to go chalk. Kevin Jennings, maybe he gets going with the dual thread, gets his legs running. But this one, I feel like it's going to be chalk. But I'm going to be really interested in watching these games just because I think there's a lot of aspects and factors in this that are going to make it a little different, including the home field advantage, man. I was listening earlier to when Sean and Seth were talking about it, and I felt so stupid that I had not considered this till this point. But like the time in the school year that these games come is actually after a lot of these semesters have ended. And so I had not even considered, like, I just want to see what degree the home games are. And I know that they've sold a lot of these tickets to the point where there were some shenanigans afoot, it felt like. And Penn State was particularly in making sure that their students got the tickets. I want to see, like, what the environment ultimately is. Is it fully in that regular home game? Is it somewhere in between? But it's definitely not going to be the full neutral game experience. So that should be a fun thing to watch, amongst other things.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be – I'm really in on this, the playoff. I think it's going to – people are going to go nuts. I think it's going to really take hold immediately and be like next level stuff. But good matchups. I think the most boring game might be Texas, but you never know. Clemson has some players.
No, yeah, I think that one might be boring just because of what I talked about, where the offense can maybe not churn, but that Texas defense is a monster. Like, we've got some great defenses on display with Texas, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Like, I think all of those are really, really good defenses. I do feel for our guy Adam Spillane, who's on the ground in Indiana already. He found a way to get tickets there. He's going to be cold, and I feel like he's going to be disappointed.
It is really, and it's going to be a late game, too.
Yeah, that one kicks off at 7.
They were in line to get into the stadium parking lot now. They were in line at 7 a.m. this morning.
Should we start a group chat and just send him texts all through the game and annoy him and bother him?
Well, he just sent a picture 13 minutes ago.
On Twitter?
We have arrived, and it's the city limit sign of South Bend, Indiana. He's just miserable, but excited.
Yeah,
to be
but
watching,
I feel like he's miserable just generally.
You gotta live
Indiana
in the moment,
fan.
Though, man.
Yeah, he absolutely. He's just gonna. I can't wait to talk to him next week.
Have you been taking in any of these other bowl games that have all been displaced? Like this would typically be the week or like a Saturday where a lot of these bowl games would live normally, but because the college they clear out for the college football playoff to try and make that more prominent, and not even make it. It is more prominent. You've had bowl games like all during the week. You have bowl games on right now. In fact, I think at 2:30 you're going to get Florida playing Tulane in one of these bowl games. So all these bowl games have kind of been pushed. Have you been actually checking out any of these bowl games this week?
I have, and checking out is the way it is. I mean, just a little bit here. I talked about last night. I watched like 8 minutes of Sam and Georgia Southern. But either way, I don't mind this. I mean, I think people still value the bowls. I know the transfer thing kind of hamstrings a lot of these squads. But that's just the life. That's the sacrifice you make. I think once the games start, I mean, it's still the environment. It's still fun to watch. It's not the stakes. But you know there's 12 teams with high stakes, you know, and that's what makes it worth it.
Yeah. On the text line from the 832, Notre Dame has no chance of beating Georgia. I wouldn't say that by any stretch. Well, one of the things that also makes it more interesting is that Georgia expects Carson Beck to miss the entirety of the college football playoff. You remember in the SEC championship game where they narrowly defeated Texas 22-19 in overtime. He sustained an elbow injury.
Well, and then probably more than that, too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And he returned for that last play in overtime just to hand the ball off, which, mind you, that was not a 2-point play.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was one of the offensive linemen saying they had run out of 2-point plays. That was just a play that they typically run on first down. They just lined it up, handed the football off, and went ahead and plowed his way into the end zone. But yeah, Gunnar Stockton is going to be the guy then out there. And he looked fine, but I think that's going to be interesting, right? To see just how good Georgia will actually look with that second quarterback. Now they'll have some time because they don't play until New Year's Day.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
A little more time to prepare, a little more time to game plan, and you know they're going to be all about it. But Georgia's going to be about what their defense can do, and that's just the way it's going to be. You know, just don't screw up is what you're telling him.
All right, so if you have to pick a game of the weekend of these, which one are you going for?
I'm interested in SMU-Penn State. Maybe it'll be a 30-point win, and I look like a dummy. That's fine, and it wouldn't be the first time. I'm interested in that one because of all that. I think the most entertaining game would be tonight. Indiana, Notre Dame, just because same state, haven't played each other, I want to say in like 20-something years. And Notre Dame with cross-state rival, well, not rival, but a team that's across the state. And Indiana has been a darling, you know, all year long. So we'll see if they can pull off another one.
How sick is Sean if Indiana manages to find a way to buy hook and buy crook at this?
Sick. Like sick. Like mood shifting sick for the next week. Like absolutely.
You think Ryan Day actually loses his job if something happens here?
If he loses, does he lose his job?
I do think that it's been kind of overblown in some ways.
I don't think so. Like, it's very frustrating, believe me. But if you look at his overall record, I think it would be kind of silly. Unless they have a plan of somebody else better coming in, I don't see them moving on from him.
I think there's a chance Ryan Day and James Franklin lose their jobs if they lose.
Nah.
There's a lot of push at Penn State and State College for the same thing happening.
I don't see Penn State moving.
We just be talking though, right? Like I feel like that might be the talking of this.
I mean, to me, I feel like it would be common sense if you feel like this squad ain't going nowhere. It's
Ryan Day. It's a real thing though. Like there's a legit push among boosters, and you know, like he can't get it done. Losing to Michigan, man.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, that was...
That's always tough, but if...
Michigan.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Did you see Kirk Herbstreit's son?
No. What happened with Kirk Herbstreit's
son? Kirk Herbstreit's son committed and signed...
To Michigan.
Well,
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he's his own man.
Well, he said Ohio State didn't show as much interest, or maybe they didn't even offer. Michigan did.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's blasphemous, man.
How good is Kirk Herbstreit's son? Like, that's,
I mean, they did offer him a scholarship.
Okay.
Yeah. See, at that
he's point, he's not like a preferred walk on or anything. He's a scholarship player.
Okay.
Yeah. See, at that point, I'm not really mad at, because as a parent, you know this.
Mm-hmm.
If your son get a scholarship offer to Texas, UT,
you're
going to be like, hey,
no, well, that's a conversation we had when he was, I want to say freshman or whatever. He was a big time swimmer and was getting looks and all that stuff, ended up going to A&M. But he asked me one day, he goes, what if Texas offers me a scholarship and A&M doesn't? I said, hook 'em horns.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give me a clip of that.
I said, horns. What if?
Well, that's not what the edit's going to say.
It didn't happen.
Hook 'em horns.
Come on now. Thank God that didn't happen.
All right. So there you go. Once more, your college football headline for the opening, the first iteration of the 12-team college football playoff is what, Lopez?
It's You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch Saturday.
Yeah, let's see if
there will be upsets.
Well, let's see if any of anybody comes to spoil Christmas.
Who's Mr. Grinch is the question.
Shout out to the 281 who said, I know y'all not talking about it right now. Can you please shout out the last Houston area team left in the high school football playoffs? Richmond Randall plays at 7 versus South Oak Cliff of up in the Dallas. So it's a little Houston
Dallas rivalry. Shout out to you.
Okay.
Does that happen so often in these high school playoffs? So shout out to Richmond Randall. Hope they get a W. All right, you're in the loop.
I think they've only been around for like 3 years.
That's all it needs. Yeah. I remember Katy Peyto got a state championship. What was that? A couple years ago in that same way where they hadn't been around very long. It's always amazing to see the coaches jump in and immediately and get something to shake. And 6-2-0, I don't know if Pendergast and Spo have like anything riding on this game. We probably need to check in and see if they have anything riding on this game, because, you know, whenever you have that, you have the opportunity to have some fun with
them. I know Spo said nah, right? And because I think the last time he was in with us, he was just like, I ain't betting. I ain't doing that. Nope.
That's right. He said he just wants to talk some trash.
Yeah, whatever, dog. All right, coming up next, let's get ready, man. The game is approaching. It is nigh. So Texans win because...
It is nigh. That's a new one.
Hey, man, it's like that's one of those types of words that you use in the holiday season.
Nigh is the game.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's one of those Christmas story or Christmas carol type words to use, right? Texans win because, Texans lose because. What are the factors that will contribute to a Texans victory or loss at Arrowhead tomorrow? We'll discuss it next.